Hey, what's going on, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of So NWA, Northwest Arkansas's newest podcast where we share the stories of those who shape and are shaped by this incredible community. It is your host, JC. And today, folks, I have some sad news. Unfortunately, I don't have my brother here, the AKA weatherman, Enrique. He is actually in a closing. He got in a closing with his clients. So a shout out to them, a shout out to Enrique for helping his clients lock down this piece of property. And that's what they're doing right now. But Enrique, we miss you and shout out to you. As I just mentioned about Enrique, I myself am also a local real estate agent here. When we aren't doing a podcast, we are actually looking and helping our clients with any of their real estate needs. If you guys have any questions or need assistance, we'd love to help. Be sure to follow us on social media. We really appreciate it. Our Instagram is So NWA Podcast. But folks, our guests today are local entrepreneurs, and both of them are involved in real estate. These individuals have created a software company called Client Keeper, which is a CRM designated specifically for real estate agents. They also have a local YouTube channel called All Things NWA. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you guys Philip and Nicole Shepherd.
Hola.
Thank you.
How's it going?
Great to be here.
Yay.
Guys, thank you so much for being here. I think like I said earlier, we always want to honor you guys for your time, for spending with us. But yeah, thank you guys for being here so much. We really have a lot to talk about today, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. But as always, man, how was the week? What's going on with Phil and Nicole? What's going on with All Things NWA? I saw yesterday on your social media, you guys were doing a YouTube recording, something on there.
So usually I'm going to just say that my week is always determined by the weather. So we are doing really good this week. Yesterday we were over doing another, it seemed to be the podcasting week. And it's usually not the case, but we did a podcast with Collier and Associates.
Gotcha.
Yesterday. So that's the behind the scenes, stuff that was going on. Yeah. And we were both there mostly talk about technology and artificial intelligence.
Okay.
But also just for having fun and talking about just real estate as well.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think AI is something new, recently new, obviously the last few years, but I am very surprised personally how much I have incorporated AI in the last like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
To edit something and make it sound better. Guilty, 100% guilty, yep. No shame. Please, please do. I was telling a friend of mine over the weekend that I think it's funny how if we remember in grade school, you know, and the teachers, whenever they didn't allow us to use calculators, right? They'd say, oh, you're going to be in the real world. You're not going to have a calculator. That's what you need to learn how to do math. Yep. And now we have a calculator on every cell phone.
Yes. Yep.
And I think the same way for AI and like ChatGPT and all these others that, well, it is nice to learn how to do something, but man, it can definitely do it a lot better in an instant.
That's always a conversation in our household.
Yes.
And this is just a very metaphysical conversation. This is not anything we'd ever implement because it is what it is.
Yeah.
But for kids, it's like this is not about real estate whatsoever, but it's the idea is like, what do you push on? What's important for them to learn and what's not important for them to learn? Because you're at an age where it's like, okay, if you're back in the 1900s or 1880s, and you see cars on the horizon and tractors, do you force your kid to go out and plow the field or learn how to manage horses and bulls? Or do you embrace technology and like, hey, you need to learn how to manage a tractor, how to, you know, redo some of the engine parts, how to redo tires, how to sharpen spindles. Like, so that's at the age we're at. We're like, what do you teach them to do?
Yeah, so our son's 11. And so when he does his homework, you know, we'll just be like, oh, I'll just use ChatGPT. And it's like, well, why don't you do it and use, you know, use that to check your answer.
Check your answer.
But like, how much do you know?
That's
because
funny.
It is a normal part of their life now. And they are actually teaching it in school. So it's interesting, you know.
I always jokingly say this, we're just feeding Skynet. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
And Phil, you said a great thing. I've not heard that before. You know, you gave that example of, 1900s, your family was working on a farm, but then tractors and cars are coming out. I have never heard something like that. And I think that's a very good point because as I don't have any kids yet, but I think the mindset is, you know, when we get older, what is new? Should I teach them the things that I learn and do this? Or should we also say, hey, be open to what the future is, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of my older family members, in the Hispanic community, they're not really familiar with technology. They didn't really get on that, but they have a cell phone, so they had to learn how to, they say like the necessity, right? Yeah. To stay in communication, but it's different to actually like dive in and do all these things. You know, we all do get phone calls from our mom to see how you fix something on your phone. I don't know if that happens to you guys a lot, but that's funny. But
I live with somebody.
Oh, you live with someone else?
No. I live with, she's the one that asks me questions. I don't have to go as far as my mom. I'm married to somebody.
You know, I'm 10 years older than him. So it's yes. So I'm like, you know, this is why I actually married you, right? You know, because you're like tech savvy. I don't have to do this anymore.
I like that. That's funny. I didn't know that. I had heard this, and please, if it's not an I don't believe it's an insult whatsoever. You know, we saw each other at the panel a few weeks ago, and you know, that's when I think I reached out to you guys initially right after that, because I thought you did fantastic. But I had heard there's a nickname for you, and again, I don't know where I heard this, but they call you the Elon Musk of NWA.
Oh, brother, yes. That's the new one.
And they might say that just because of the maybe the information you're always given, you're kind of always on top of the information and specs. And I guess you both created this software, right, for agents. So now you kind of have like this tech feel to it. So I really feel like that name, I kind of mentioned that, everyone kind of laughed, but in a good way to say, oh man, he that puts Phil right there, right? I don't know if that's true. And I don't know if you've heard that before. Nicole, have you heard that before?
I haven't, but now I'm going to hear it a lot.
The Elon Musk of NWA.
Go to your head.
No,
I swear, I heard that somewhere. I don't know if I don't know who I heard that from, but I know I didn't come up with it. So I never even knew
it. No, he's on cutting edge of all the AI and everything. And it's good. I use him as like in my buffer because he'll go through and play with all of it. And I'm like, and then he'll tell me which things are cool. And I'll decide if if they work with my business or not, then I'll use them and spend the time because there's so much out there.
I see.
I even try to filter out a lot because like a lot of stuff I'll dabble into. And I'll dabble into stuff, but like it has to be super practical.
Yeah.
And I try to bring it down to like there's so many practical things. There's so many impractical things I'm aware of. And like I just don't want to talk about because it's so stupid.
As we're here recording, is kind of ask these random questions for our audience, for us to kind of just have a quick conversation on. But Nicole, you said earlier today before we recorded, if I give you homework or if someone gives you homework, you get it done.
I'm gonna do it.
You came prepared and you have these questions for us, right? So I'm gonna give this
unless
to you.
Unless you want to ask your phone question.
Phone question. Which one's that?
Why is three phones?
Oh yeah, the first question I have for you is why is there? When I first, obviously the audience can't see what I see.
Yes.
I first got here, he has three phones on a rag, which I assume is because if one vibrates, it'll not make a noise.
That is correct.
First off. Secondly, is why three phones?
Yeah. So I do. So I did put them on this rag. I do it even when I go to restaurants. Mm-hmm. I put like a napkin or a coaster under it. Just. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's just me, but I essentially have three. So one's my personal phone. Mm-hmm. I still work a 9-to-5, so I still have that phone, and then I have my real estate phone.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So in a perfect world, or in the future, it would come down to just the two.
Yeah.
Whenever that time. Yeah. I had my philosophy with real estate and personal is I kind of have it separated. Mm-hmm. Do you guys do one phone or two?
Oh, one phone.
One.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It is a lot. It is a lot to really, how do I say this too? Excuse me. It is a lot to, let alone carry three, but even the two. But my philosophy was, I felt like whenever I get to that place, whenever.
6 months from now?
Yeah. 6 months from now, a year from now, whenever I have my real estate business, have my real estate phone, have my real estate photos on this phone, all the software and programs and apps on this phone. And it's set up so I know when I'm answering that phone, it's really, it's Juan Carlos, the realtor.
Yeah.
If I have my personal phone, then it's just Juan, and it's my mom, it's my dad, whoever. Yeah. And if I go on vacation, I can say, you know what, I'm going to leave my real estate phone at the hotel.
Yeah.
I'm just going to carry my personal phone with me. Yeah. And if someone's calling me on my personal phone, it's the bat line, it's my wife, whoever it might be. So that's kind of where that kind of comes down. But it is definitely a conversation starter when I have all three.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah, what are you?
Are you like? You have a burner phone for something?
Burner phone.
Yeah,
and I tell you, I couldn't get inside. But no, one's my 9-to-5, one's my personal, one's my real estate. Yeah. And just recently, when I started doing this, man, I wasn't really using my real estate phone a lot. It was I would leave it in the car and things like that. So I still have my two. But I kid you not, sometimes I got all three, and it just feels heavy.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's something for sure.
Need a phone purse at some point.
I can't find one phone.
Yeah, there's no way you're getting on. Like,
and to keep them and to keep them not dropping them is a big one.
Oh, yeah.
To make sure that they're okay and good working condition is another thing. It does feel like that, but I know it sounds kind of ridiculous. But again, in the near future, it should just be the two, right? I think two is the dream. Yeah.
Two phones. If it works for you, it helps you segment your life. That's
correct.
You know,
correct, right? Yeah. I would feel bad, you know, getting a phone call at 10 o'clock at night. It's like, hey, can you look at this house for me? Yeah. I'd be like, oh man, I'm put you on mute.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Yeah. But yeah, that's the whole thing with the three phones.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Three questions.
Yeah. So for the second question then, I can give you a choice.
Okay.
So the first one was either what country sounds interesting to you, but you know nothing about? So I wanted that one because I like traveling. So I was interested in that one. And the second one was, how do you make decisions?
Okay.
I think how people make decisions is interesting.
So I'll answer, are you going to answer these as well?
Well, I figured that was the first one, so you can just answer one of those two.
Okay. I'll do country.
Okay.
I probably want to go to, and it's risky, but I probably want to either go to China just because it's such a controversial country and it's still like safe that Americans go to. Like, it'd be interesting to go to North Korea, but that'll never happen. I'll never get out of there. But China would be interesting just because you get to see such a broad stroke of how different culture lives that's excelling to some extent. So that'd be my fascinating thing. And so little comes out of China, like, that's quote unquote truthful. So then when you see parts of China, you're like, oh, that's interesting, or it's the good and bad stuff. So it'd be, and it's such a big country, it's like, you're going to see such weird stuff there. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a good answer.
Of course, it's adversarial towards America, but I'm saying it's just interesting because they are obviously, they're open communist to most extent. And so you only get to see certain parts of it, and there's probably really good parts and the bad parts, but it's good to go see it on your own eyes to see what's true and not true.
Yeah, it's true. I would say that I was going to say that when you said that answer, I was going to say, you know what? I dream of film. Nicole, how about you? And I'll answer last.
Okay. So on country, so I've traveled a ton. Okay. And so I guess just in the news lately, it's been all about Greenland, and it's like somewhere I've never thought about. So I'm like, oh, I know nothing about that. You know, I would be interested in like learning more because obviously it's a, So anyway,
at the point of this recording, I have to get political just because it's just news. This is just news. Just news. The Greenland people said that their whatever person they voted for today won overwhelmingly. And that party is much leaning towards joining America.
So that's interesting that there was an American state potentially that's so close to Europe and stuff. Like, all of a sudden, I'm a whole lot more interested in that.
I see. good point. Yeah, I think those are really good. For me, I would say I'm not familiar at all very, very little, the continent of Africa.
Oh, sure.
As far as there's a ton of countries in there. Mm-hmm. One that would stick out is my wife went to Uganda many years ago when she was in, Bible college and she always talks about how just magical and how obviously different it was and the people, but obviously the biggest thing for her, and I think because we're very similar in that sense, is the people there were so loving and so warm, and it's just different. Mm-hmm. So there's a big interest in just going over there and seeing what that feels like. Going to, you know, obviously the way of living is completely different and as far as in it, almost in every sense of the way. So just to be there with those people and just see what that experience is like and love on people and just, you know, really kind of be with the community and see what that feels like. Cause that's kind of how we are when we travel.
I was just going to ask, is your wife Latin? And
So
she even found that. Cause I would always tell people to maybe go to a Latin country to get that experience.
So then to go even further, that's
interesting.
So I was about to say, when we travel to, like, let's see, we, 2 years ago we were in Peru, and then the year before that we were in Mexico City, and we get that feeling, you know, from the community when walking into stores and restaurants. They're just so loving and just a different culture. So I can only imagine if she talks about it in that matter, even more so with that, I can only imagine what that feels like. So I'd probably say, like I said, Uganda comes up, but I'm sure there's any of those other countries there too. I also know it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
Some, but I'm very curious to get to see what that feels like. So Cool. Good question. I like it. Let's see, you know, let's dive into, you know, you guys, let's dive into our main discussion for the podcast. And like I said, we, you know, as we're progressing, Phil and Nicole, if you're not originally from here, and you can answer, you know, together or right after one another, is if you're not originally from Northwest Arkansas, how did y'all discover or move to Northwest Arkansas? What was kind of that backstory of how you guys got here?
Yeah, it was about 18 years ago. So I was actually living overseas with my former husband. And while we were overseas, his family all relocated here. And it was right when Washington Regional was developed.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
And so his brother moved as a doctor and they were trying to bring people here for that. And so, you know, the rest of the family came. And so when we came back to the U.S., we were like, do we go to California where my parents were at the time? Now they're here too. Everybody's here.
Good.
But, you know, yeah, exactly. Do we go back there? Do we go to Houston? Do we go back to D.C. where we were before? Like, we had all those choices. And then, but once we came to visit, we just, all the cost of living, the opportunities to start your own business, all of those things drew. And then his family being here. So that's how I got here.
Okay. And Phil, before you answer, I just want to ask this question. What part of California was your family from?
San Jose.
San Jose. Okay. So the northern part of it. Mm-hmm. Nice. Nice. Okay. Phil, how about you?
I started researching the best places to live in America.
Okay.
And so then I started, this is back in like 2019. And I was like, okay, if I want to move, I want to pick the best place ever. So I looked at Boulder, I looked at Golden, I looked at Phoenix, I looked at California's a little too expensive, definitely too expensive, but like Boise, you have Asheville, you have probably Huntsville, Alabama. You have a couple of those really up and coming places. Mm-hmm. And then Northwest Arkansas just was very, very unique in what it was providing.
Okay.
And so I deep dived into all those different places, but Northwest Arkansas really took the crown for all those. Mm. So I came down here in like late 2018. I was like, oh, this place is either going to boom or it's perfect. So then I moved down here in mid June 2020. So I went back home, sold my house, and moved down here.
Okay.
So that's how it was, very analytical, but also I traveled to a lot of those places to check them out.
Did you?
And see, okay, and see what fit the bill.
So, you know, you named quite a few of different cities and towns. What were the final two?
It was either going to be between Provo, Utah,
okay,
Northwest Arkansas, or it was going to be Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah. And you could kind of toss in a little bit of Maryville or Knoxville, Tennessee was an option, but
I had been to Knoxville about a year ago now. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, it had a very similar feel to Northwest Arkansas. They definitely had a bigger downtown. Mm-hmm. They have definitely tall skyscrapers, but it's on the river. Yep. Don't know too much about their weather, mm-hmm. But I definitely felt a very similar vibe.
Yeah, it's very similar to it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Yeah, so the styling-wise. Now, economically, it's much vastly different.
Oh, right.
But from a style-wise, it's very similar.
True, mm-hmm. true. Well, what else? The question about mm-hmm. Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about deep dish or New York style?
That's a good question. Okay. I would prefer deep dish still.
Oh.
Nicole
and him are looking at him like, oh, what?
What?
But in the same breath.
I've seen you eat New York pizza.
Oh, no, I've eaten way more New York pizza than I have Chicago pizza. The difference with, it's weird because like you can almost consider Chicago deep dish pizza, not pizza.
Okay.
And that's why they call it a pie. But if I had a choice of just like overall what's my favorite pizza, it's going to be thin crust, crispy pizza.
Okay.
So that definitely leans more New York style.
New York style. Yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I'm a big pizza guy. I love pizza. Mm-hmm. And I've said this in the podcast before, when I'm not recording or doing real estate, you know, I'm a ninja turtle trying to night, right?
Yep.
I had been on this hunt for kind of finding a really good pizza spot and different, trying all these different pizzas, right? So the question when it comes to pizza is it deep dish or is it New York style pizza? Mm-hmm. And I've never had the opportunity authentically to try a deep dish pizza. And mm-hmm. and last year we were coming back from Europe and we had a layover in Chicago for the night. Mm-hmm. So we went out and tried a deep dish. And mm-hmm. I have to say, I was a little bit disappointed. Mm-hmm. I would say, I think to your, you said it was more like a pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I felt like I was eating a big hot pocket with a lot of sauce and things like mm-hmm. that. Now I'm going to give it another try whenever we go up to Chicago again, but someone had recommended another spot. And when we looked them up when we stopped in Chicago, They said, go to this spot. Like, but it was just, it was about an hour away from where we were going to be. And we just couldn't make it. So we did this, the second best spot, which is a chain, a local chain up in Chicago.
Yep.
So I said, I'm going to get, I told my wife, I was like, man, so far New York's got it, but I'm going to try one more time. Like I said, whenever we go up there, who knows when, and try this spot and kind of go from there. I'll have your answer.
And I do admit, like the
nostalgic for you though, too.
Partially, but also I think the odds of you finding are a good deep dish Chicago pizza are very rare. And then the odds of you finding a good New York style pizza are higher. Like there, some of the deep dish pizzas in Chicago are just way too salty.
Okay.
And they're this, like it has to be the right amount of, it sounds bad, but it's like, it can be overwhelming. It's like how much cheese, how much sauce, what sausage, pepperoni. And like, there's a lot of layers that go on. And so you can over, someone doesn't know how to do it well, or it has a certain brand.
Yeah.
It can just be like, this is disgusting. It's like way too salty. But then, but New York style, it's like, all you have to do is have a thin crust, big slice of pizza and have like, it's just, it's iconic. So the odds of you find, you can go to any vendor at any New York place and be like, I want a piece of pie. It's fantastic. Whereas Chicago, it's like, you have to go to like three places and that's it. That, in my opinion.
I see.
So like, you can have ripoffs and they're fine, but they're like,
it's not,
they're not, it's not that I don't care about the original, but it's like, they have to differentiate themselves. And so they usually go in a different direction, like more salt or this or that. And becomes, just becomes, eh.
Yeah. I see. Yeah. I see. Are you were you born and raised in Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago. Oh, okay, Chicago land. I wasn't actually born in the city.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. I thank you for sharing with that. I think that's true. I'll have to. I'm still on the hunt, right?
Yeah, for
the,
there's a lot of chains out there that in Chicago that,
so
that
do, we don't know. We can't compare because we haven't had the right kind.
Yeah, and the right kind is it's a very mild. It's like eating a Hot Pocket. Is where it's a very what it boils down to.
I was saying
New York.
But then again, I'm a big kind of Hot Pocket, so
hey, a good Hot Pocket at the right time doesn't hit any better. So before we move on, then what's the go-to pizza spot here in town? I normally ask a question like this at the end, but just because we got
the place in Johnson is probably the best one.
Pizzeria Ruby.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's one. I don't want to call out any bad people, but that's a very good choice if you want to go to pizza around here.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that is a very, very good choice. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or MJ's or Winston. I like both of those.
Yeah. MJ's is good. Ooh, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, moving on.
Okay.
I could go on about pizza.
We did a little pizza episode. I want to definitely jump into the CRM, the client keeper, that this software that you all had designed. I definitely want to know about it, and I'll give you guys that time. So tell me about it. What is this?
Yeah. So it's funny because like I started in real estate. A little backtrack. I started in real estate 2008.
Okay.
Good time to get in real estate. So my parents owned a real estate brokerage. And down in Chicago, and we sold vacation homes on the like near, on a lake near Chicago. Anyways, when I first got into industry, like I've always had a CRM. Like that's the first thing. I was like, I talked to a client. I went back and was like, you know, on my computer. And this is like prior to this is like before Facebook kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like Facebook barely existed. So this is like early days. But I always had a CRM. And so over the course of years and almost now a decade or more, obviously it's like I've always had a database of clients.
Okay.
Fast forward, moved to Northwest Arkansas. Build a whole business here. And then I married Nicole and I was like, hey, what, you know, kind of CRM do you use? And she's like, she never really used one, which is fine. So I talked to her about why she didn't use one.
He was shocked.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Why don't you
have CRM?
That panel really changed my view. Mm-hmm. When we had that panel that you were on a few weeks ago, that really changed my view of a CRM because I actually don't use one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I looked into yours. So we can talk about it later. Yeah. But I think like Nicole,
And we all hear at any event you go to with real estate, it's like, you need a CRM. And everybody's like, yep, I know. I've heard it. I know I need one.
And even brokers offer it.
Yeah. And brokers offer it. Yeah. And so when he asked me that, I was like, well, I don't. I use one, which he was shocked to. And then I said, well, don't look so shocked. I mean, I have over 30 agents I signed for. And I said, I think maybe you and one other person has one.
Mm-hmm.
And even knowing that it's something that we want to use. So we kind of deep dived into that. Like, why don't you use one? Mm-hmm, Not me specifically, but everybody. So we interviewed a lot of agents. All the things that I had told them of why I didn't use one, which I can tell you a little bit, was one for somebody who sells, like the average agent, let's say, who sells, you know, 5 to 10 houses a year, hopefully. Mm-hmm. They're all very expensive, first off, you know, very expensive. It's like a lot of bells and whistles that people don't want to pay for. It's like on a desktop, you know, and a lot of agents are on their phone. So there were just a lot of things that And I said, I just don't want to go home and have a whole other thing because I know I won't keep it updated.
Yeah.
It's a data entry. I just know I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put that pressure on myself. I'm just going to have, you know, my own system and everything, which of course was not a system. And so we interviewed a lot of other agents and they all said the same thing. And then when we interviewed agents that were even with brokerages that where they do get offered one, the main question was like, we would say, do you have one? And it was like, yes. But then we asked this follow-up question, which we learned to ask, which was, do you use it? Mm-hmm. And the answer was always,
Not really.
I mean, maybe 1 out of 10 actually used it. Mm-hmm. So we're like, okay, how do we help agents, you know, use the CRM more efficiently, make it easy for them, make the data entry, you know, so that they can use that as a way to build their business.
So that's what started. Those conversations started. And then we started the process of building out the software.
How long did it take you to, to kind of build this on the back end, I guess?
We started, was that actually September of 2023? We flew to New York City, that's a different story, to go to a developer conference, found a developer, and we had a beta test in Collier's hands by March or April of 2024. And then we beta tested it more publicly throughout the whole summer this year of 2024. And then we've kind of went way more public at the end of 2024.
This is really recent.
Last year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Cause we had agents using it, mostly Collier agents using it and giving us feedback. And every time they would call with a question about it, we would say, okay, that's not intuitive enough. Like we want this to be so easy. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to ask a question. You're going to just be able to use it. Okay. And so, we were like, make it simpler. And that's half the battle is making something simpler,
right? Very convenient,
right? Cause you have like all these things you could do, but it's really, what do people need? And what are the things that they're using? And so it was great. A lot of the agents were very helpful, you know, helping us get through all of those, like,
all the pain points,
all the pain points and everything. And so we kind of honed down the right one. And
Ooh, okay. Well, I definitely will say that the CRM is something that I would also agree that I think maybe many, at least I don't use one. And many of the, I believe some people in the team that I'm on don't use it either. So I'm very interested in, and I'm going to get back to you guys on that.
Well, and for any of your listeners who don't know what a CRM is, it's a client relationship manager. So you basically track, you know, you can keep all of your client data in there and then it tells you when to follow up with them. So you just make sure that you're like top of mind and stuff with all your.
And a lot of this is like those random conversations that you have. Like, let's say you're going out and you meet with friends and a random friend brings a friend at dinner. And like, yeah, we're thinking about selling a house in like 6 months from now. And that's kind of your cue as a real estate agent to be like, hey, you know, like, you know, obviously let's talk what that looks like. But 99% of the time, or actually technically it's 80% of the time, most agents don't follow up with any of their leads. And so with ClientKeeper, that essentially makes it makes it so easy to enter the data and to be able to remind them to follow up. So you can just go to ClientKeeper, open up the app, audio message everything you just had a conversation about with that client. It's done. It's entered for you behind the scenes. And then all the follow-ups are set up for you so that every 2 weeks or however you set it up, it says like, hey, follow up with this person. So this way it kind of eliminates the excuses of not following up with people, essentially.
So we made the foundation so simple that it's, you know, who do you follow up with, keeping all your stuff organized, putting it on the phone to make it mobile first so that it's with you all the time. So you always have your data. It's not on your, you know, computer somewhere. So that's how we solve those pain points. And then MyRA, which stands for My Real Estate Assistant, is the virtual assistant that's built into it. And that's where if you have a conversation with a client, you know, then you can just get in the app, enter the MyRA button and tell MyRA all the information that you just got from the client, whatever they want to change the price of their home search, they want to, you know, any updates, what their wife's name was, if they happen to stay in a conversation, then they'll go enter that data in. So all the data entry is done behind the scenes.
That's pretty cool. You've answered a lot of my questions I had as an agent, but I think for the audience too, that was actually really, really good. I'm going to look more into that. So folks, again, that is, let me have it here. ClientKeeper.
And the website's clientkeepercrm.com.
Cool. Let me jump over to this real fast. You know, so you both talked about being in real estate, and Nicole, I think you said you hold an executive broker license. Yes, correct.
Yes.
What keeps you all passionate about being in real estate?
For me, probably I'm certainly passionate. I think what drives me a lot of times is when I was in Illinois, it was more or less connecting people to houses that want a second home. Now that's radically different than here. So up there it was more like helping people. The phrase that we always use is be on vacation every day of the year. So that's kind of the marketing spiel was like, hey, you know, you are hire a wealthy individual that's probably some sort of C-suite executive in Chicago. You want to buy a second house on the lake. So you kind of see that connection point of like, thank you for helping me with my family's purchase. Then you actually see them on the lake. So, but here it's a little different for me because it's like, I feel like this is a great place to live. Mm-hmm. And it's very under, I don't say marketed, but there's a stigma to the Arkansas.
Yeah.
So if I can help turn that around a little bit, that's a big win for me and helping as many people move here as possible.
Okay.
You know, and so that's the win is like, hey, and I have conversations daily about, you know, people moving from Colorado or California or Illinois, Chicago, the dumpster fire, Texas, Florida, you know, all those different places. A lot of people want to move here. And so they see the benefit. They see all the cool things happening and they want to get on board.
So it's a very common theme of people really are surprised by this area. You know, you said turning things around here in NWA, right? Turn things around of the stigma that a lot of people think. I remember going to California, visiting my dad, before graduation, they'd be like, oh, you know, I'm from Arkansas. Oh, what do you do in Arkansas? You guys ride horses every day?
Yeah.
You know, or what do you, I'm like, yeah.
What are you guys cooking?
Yeah, no. Exactly. You know, you get these things and it's just so funny. For the friends that have come here and visited over the years, they're like, this place is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, this place, you guys have, you feel safe. There's a lot of city amenities that we offer. That's clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they're taken by surprise. But Nicole, for you, what do you keeps your passion in real estate?
So I would say in the, like more of the leadership position that I have in the brokerage now, if I answer that as a broker, it would be that, you know, my clients now are agents, right? So I think of it that way. And my background's in teaching. So I love teaching. I love training. I've started like 5 different businesses. So just now being in a position where I can take all of that knowledge from the other businesses I've done and help other agents like build their brands and understand that and kind of watch their businesses grow, you know, and have this, watching them have success and everything.
Yeah.
And then being in a position even, you know, with having people who know tech and things to say, hey, these are things agents need. How can we actually build some like these tools and resources?
I see.
So creating the resources and tools and things like that, and then that I know that are going to help agents succeed is like super exciting for me.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can definitely see that, you know, that teacher look, you know,
came with my homework done.
Were you teaching locally?
No, my master's was in education, but I taught in DC.
Oh, okay.
Before I moved
okay.
DC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can definitely see this teacher look and the leadership, and then, you know, shout out to all the teachers, you know, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. I think, who did we have? We had, so far we had 2 facilitators. Mm-hmm. One was a principal at a local from Oakdale Middle School.
Okay.
And Coach Smith from Elmwood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think one of the questions we asked was, you know, what was the difference between teaching 10 years ago versus now? And he's like, I remember that date, exact time. It was COVID. Yeah, it was COVID kids, you know, and I can only imagine what that would be like.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, no, I could get a classroom of 30 kids together learning, no problem. My one kid at home was a mess. Yeah. That was a mess during COVID.
Man,
he didn't want to listen to me for anything.
I can totally see that. I think a lot of things changed.
Like, this is harder than having a classroom.
Yeah, oh my God, hey, let's get 30 more kids in here.
Yeah. No, man, we hear stories.
It's hard work.
Mm. It is. No, it's a huge responsibility, I think, and we're glad for all our teachers, former teachers, and our current teachers in this area. Hey, a shout out to you all. Let's see. You know, what's one piece of advice that you'd give first time home buyers that you don't usually hear? That they don't usually hear.
So I think for me, like I think the unusual. It's not unusual, but it's not unusual for me to say this because I say it all the time. But it'd be maybe unusual for them to hear it. Is at least in Northwest Arkansas, it's probably smarter for you to buy new construction. Mm. And Northwest Arkansas sellers are still a little unrealistic in some and they usually end up having to reduce the cost by like 5 or 10% before it sells.
I see.
And until that changes, then it's going to be what it is. But new construction, it's just a better option, at least at the moment. Now, they could change in about 5 years, but it's like, they have better rates oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
They can work with lenders. They have better incentives.
Yep.
The house is, you know, not, it has no issues. You know, it has a warranty. So that's my usual thing is like, if you're going to move here, I mean, there's plenty of other houses that are quote unquote used that are gorgeous and beautiful and they're priced right. But 80%, 70% of the time, new construction is a better way to go.
Most people would want to get into a new home for the, they want to be that first time family in that location. That's pretty much almost in anything you're purchasing. So
that would probably go hand in hand with what I was going to say, because I would just even off personal experience tell them not to fix anything. Like, I know that that first time homebuyer wants to get in there and, you know, change the, you know, paint the cabinets or change the countertops and do all of these things, you know, and the ROI then isn't going to be there when they go to sell and the point of having the equity, if it's not their forever home, you know, if it's not
good
your forever home, then don't do anything and almost treat it like a rental, you know, in a way, and just like live in it. And, you know, but because those things are not going, you're not going to get your money back out of those things. And then, you know, it's not going to help you get to that next house, depending on what your goals are, you know?
That's a really good
point. But a lot of us watch way too much HGTV, and I got caught in that. You know, you come in and you just, you do it, and then that, you don't realize that that's not going to help you. And it might sell faster, but it's not necessarily going to help you with your money at the end of the day.
Yeah. And a good example is a lot of people, a pool, right? They're going to go put a, they're going to put a pool in their backyard. Hey, that's fun.
It's good for you.
And it's good for you, and you love it, and you spend, I don't know, I'm going to make up a number, but let's just say it was $50,000, you know, once it's completed. And that's great. You and your family enjoyed a lot of time on the pool, and you, a lot of people will think, oh, just add another 50 to my house, right? No, that's not the case. You might only end up adding maybe 10 or 20 of it. And now some people are kind of upset that they, they couldn't get that quote unquote cost back. Now the, the real is I say the real, payback, I guess, is in the equity.
In the equity.
Oh, I like that. Let's for Phil and Nicole, let's go with all things NWA, you know, and how did that start and why?
So it started because when I started researching the area, there's very few ways to find out what's going on here.
Okay.
Like, there are some random forums and blogs that I really deep dived into. The Northwest Arkansas Council is a wealth of information. I read Fayetteville's 2040 plan and also Bentonville's Let's Connect Bentonville plan. And Bentonville wasn't as organized at the time when I first moved down here in 2020 or even 2019. But so I was like, when I get here, I was like, well, one of the first things I'm going to do is if I want to move my license on here, I want to make a very easy resource for people to be aware of what's happening here. And so my first initial thing was like, okay, I want to start just from a marketing standpoint, I'm going to start, you know, doing your typical business stuff, postcards and everything else. And I was like, but what if I did YouTube? What would that look like? I know how to edit videos and how to do stuff. I'm fine on camera. And so I started producing YouTube videos, and it was the intent is still the same today. It's like, be as useful as possible and try to get as much information out for what's going on here. Mm-hmm. Now, in contrast, most real estate agents, what they'll do is they'll put out home tour videos and do other things. But as a person who's reloading here, it's like, I know what they want and what's important to them. So on my YouTube channel, you'll notice that there's some things that never exist on there. I never talk about my listings. I never done a home tour, and I probably will never do a home tour. It's because why? Who cares? And a home is a home. And I know that every home is beautiful and everything else, but it's like, they care more about like, hey, how's the economic condition there? How, you know, what's Walmart doing? You know, how are the taxes doing there? What are the schools like? You know, what are all these things that that they're about to move their family across all America? And there's like 7 or 8 questions that they care about. Mm-hmm. And if I answer the first 7 questions and the 8th question is, okay, what agent should I use? They never have to ask number 8 because I've answered all the first 7 questions. Mm. So the intent was to help them as much as possible to get information easily through there. That's why I have my 3-day itineraries. I have my NWA starter packs. I have my NWA weekly email. So I have a lot of other things that attach to it as well.
I like that. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, and then once, like, so he's helping them decide to move to Northwest Arkansas. And then once they've already made that decision, finding a house
is just
what kind of house do you want, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's a very good perspective. And what you were saying is you were wanting to move to the area. You didn't really see too much information that had been out there. And I almost feel the same way kind of with this podcast, but you know, we can get into that a little bit later as well. But I almost, I want to say, yeah, that's true. There was something that you had come up with and decided to go with. And now I want to say now it's something that a lot of people view. Mm-hmm. I know I do, now that I've discovered it, and I can see how that's very, brings a lot of value to people moving to this area or even people from this area. So that's very cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I do. And so then there's a lot more reasons why I did YouTube beyond just that, but that's probably the best form to get to as many people as possible. Mm. Yeah, okay. Have a direct connection to your audience.
Okay, I'm gonna have to pick your brain on that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Okay. So where can we find this? I think you said it's on everything.
Most likely if you type in now, there's a lot of other competitors in the last like 2-3 years or so. But if you type in anything anything around North of Arkansas, I will come up.
Okay.
But it's going to be YouTube, all things NWA, NWA. TikTok, all things NWA. Instagram, all things NWA. And then I have a website called Everything NWA. So it's a blog, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Those are the core things are there.
Those are the four. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that keeps you really busy. Are you always updating those things? And then mm-hmm. you're working in real estate and everything. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And running a software company.
And a software company. So how, okay. Nicole, on the back, this question kind of leads up to it, mm-hmm. but you know, what's it like working with your spouse in this way? But how do you separate business from your personal life? How does that look like, you know, you get home at 5 p.m. with the kids and the
5 p.m. wait home.
Or, you know, whatever, right? Oh, okay. Oh, there you go to that point. So what's it like when you get home?
Yeah, we don't midnight. Have a schedule. I mean,
yeah, there's no schedule.
You know, right? I think it really helps that we're both in real estate. Mm-hmm. We both understand, you know, that if you get somebody who needs to look at a house at 6 p.m. at night or, you know, you're on the phone writing it, you know, an offer or whatever. I'm also signing his offer. So it's like, get that done so I can sign it. We just kind of flow.
And okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't really have like a set schedules for very much.
No.
Okay.
Not really. Anything. I mean, just because everything's like, everything's up in the air, everything's different. Now, just to be clear, like we definitely take vacations and we can push things around, and it's just, luckily for me, and even for her to some extent, like we can control our schedules, mm-hmm. but it has to be like a week or two ahead of time, not necessarily like the moment of.
Okay.
And so it's like, hey, this is gonna be time off. It's like, okay, then push this client here. I'm not gonna be further than coffee now. I'm gonna push it here. So there has to be some intentionality.
Some creative mm-hmm. scheduling.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That being said, what do you use for your schedule for calendar wise? You know, mm-hmm. we in the podcast we really we use Google Calendar, yep. mm-hmm. And we always mention it. But what do you guys use? I'm just curious.
Google Calendar.
Same.
Yeah, okay. He'll just send me an
invite. Yeah, I'll send her an invite. It's like, even like you guys, tonight, Jasper has a test that he needs to study for, and like, that's going to be an invite.
It's like, he invites me, so now, we block it up.
I'm also a freak about this. I really, really dislike, like, packed calendars. Like, I don't like looking at my calendar and be like, oh my God, my day's gone.
Yeah.
And so I would rather, like if every day was scheduled of what I'm going to do, it's like, that would annoy me. Cause like, what's the point? In my mind, like the point of doing a real estate is to be somewhat free. And I'm like, I'm not going to manage my calendar like that. I know some people in the productive leadership space, they're like, we have this 15 minutes and that's 15 minutes. And
it's
like,
we don't really time block anything.
I don't care.
But like, even after this, like, so there's some days you just, everybody does their own thing. Yeah. And then others, you're just like, it's almost a surprise because it's like, oh, we're doing this podcast. And then you don't have anything afterward. Cool. I don't have anything. Let's go to lunch.
Yeah.
And then we have lunch. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And we just take advantage.
But our personalities are found that, like, some people that are super structured, like, they have to have that. And I'm certainly not messy, but I'm certainly not structured.
Okay.
And so she's more structured than I am.
A little bit free flowing.
Yeah.
And just enough to get it on the calendar. Yeah. I get it.
But I can understand why, but I can totally understand why someone in real estate would want that structure 100%.
Especially if they maybe are not used to it mm-hmm. or they didn't have that prior to mm-hmm. them. They maybe want to mess something up. Mm-hmm. I can see that. Yeah. I definitely use Google Calendar. My wife just sent me an invite for dinner on Friday.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny. I responded to it and said, yes, mm-hmm. Of course. But I was like,
maybe.
She's learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you need to, like, okay, but we want to do something.
But I was going to talk with her and be like, hey, you know, kind of to your point is I want to keep it. It'd be strange to be so busy that mm-hmm. you can't actually be free. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, but I, at least personally, I want to keep as much time for my family as I can. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, we all still have to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you know, Friday nights is definitely for us. Obviously, if something comes up where I need to go take care of some business, I assume that would be okay and everything like that. But she sent me an invite yesterday. I kind of laughed. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yes. Yeah. For sure. Automatic. Yes.
The only time that for me, it's kind of important because what happens is then if I don't want to put, like, showing property on, like, certain things. Like, for instance, I have a client coming in tomorrow and there's probably a meeting I probably should be at instead of, but he's more important just because he's flying to buy a house, of course,
and that,
as one does. And so, like, but I just need to be aware, like, okay, I have this meeting and then he needs to come in and meet at the same time. Okay, kick that meeting out because it's not as important as that coming in. So it's good for me to see that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I just don't do back-to-back, like, 30-minute blocks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's very reasonable. I think if someone is kind of coming, like you said, flying in tomorrow mm-hmm. to look at, you know, property or whatever, I think it would make sense to have that on the schedule and be like, mm-hmm. okay, cool, I'm giving them mm-hmm. the proper attention and time. But one of these last questions here is, what was the best piece of advice you have ever received, and how did that impact your career? And I'm going to open it up just a little bit so it's not too hardcore. You know, what's a really good piece of advice that you still go or still use today that you've, you know, received at one point? What would you say that would be? For any future real estate agents, any future...
There's a lot of them, but I went to an EXP event in Dallas. I was invited to one of those, and they had Tony Robbins speaking. And I just remember he talked about a lot about visualization and acting as if you already have something or that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I came back, and I only really remember this because I think a lot of times we implement strategies and you don't see results for 6 months. So you just you kind of don't know where the source of whatever business decision you made. But it was real automatic because I went to a listing appointment and I wasn't even sure if it was just me or if it was going to be like they were talking to other agents or whatever at the time. But they said, can you, you know, just visualize yourself leaving the appointment like you already have the listing.
Oh, you know, that's good.
And I usually would go into a listing more timid, you know, here's the teacher, here's all the information I have for you. You know, do you like me? Do you want to work with me? You know, kind of thing. That was really more, you know, my approach. And then, but I went into that listing very different. And I noticed my words were different because instead of saying like, oh, I could do this and I could do that, I was like, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this together. And I used we language, my language all changed because I already had the listing.
The mentality had
shifted. And so I ran, you know, and I got it. And as I was driving out, I was like, yep, that was a big one.
Okay. I like that.
So it really changed, you know, just even my attitude with how I talk to clients from that point forward.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I think for me, and this probably can relate to any small business or any real estate agent is, and I always harp on this and Nicole knows this. I'm like, I always say, who are you talking to? And what I mean by that is like back when I started Northwest Arkansas or all things NWA, I talked to one person. Like it was one person. If you want to move here, I talk to you. I don't talk to people who want to list their homes. I don't really talk to people who are currently living here. If they want to watch my content, cool. But like, I only talk to one person. And so even in all my content, it's directed as though I'm talking to this one person looking to move here. Once you start broadening your scope, you become, once you try to become all things to all people, you become nothing to no one. And because the idea is like because at that point it's like, what's your favorite chocolate bar? Well, there's 500. Who gives a rip? Because it's all the same. What's your favorite coffee? And it's like, well, there's plenty of coffee shops, but there's Onyx and they're rated the second best in the world. Mm-hmm. Like they've niched themselves down. So that's an example of they talk to one group of people who care about coffee. And so you can see the scope of like, if you just become, again, like if you just become all things, all people, it's meaningless. So my answer is always, you know, who are you talking to and knowing who you're talking to.
Wow. That's really, I left speechless with that one. Wow. That's really good. Thank you. Yeah. For the audience here, really, that was such a powerful moment to hear that. Cause I think it's true. And this is like you just said prior to that it's to any small businesses, your real estate agent, personal life, whoever it might be, your friends and family, anything like that. I think that is pretty moving.
And just to clarify, the real estate agency goes back to, and we talk about this all the time between when we talk to agents, but when agents get into the industry, they're like, I want to sell houses. Well, that's great, but who are you going to sell them to? And, you know, there's so many niches within the real estate industry, whether for first-time home buyers or people that are looking to downsize or people that are north of $1 million or people that only drive Mercedes or whatever, or demographics. It doesn't really make a difference. It's like you have to talk to one person and be very good at that.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very good. One of the things that we do in this podcast as well is we ask our guests if they are wanting to do a shout out to any team member, family, friends, things like that. And I do want to emphasize this because a lot of times I think our guests might get a little bit, I don't say embarrassed, but they might feel like, oh, I'm going to leave somebody out, so I don't want to say anything. And so we've had to explain a little bit to say, you know, this podcast is to really, you know, we want to highlight individuals from the community. So, and giving that spotlight in a sense to y'all, now it might be a chance to say something, you know, to someone who really means, who's really just been there for you guys and things like that. And as always, we always don't get everybody. That's just normal. Yeah. But if there's someone that comes to mind, either that's helped you personally or in real estate or things like that, this is, you know, like I said, if you want to give a shout out to anybody.
Yeah. I'll let you answer both of us.
I think probably for us, it's just like our small group of people down in Farmington. And it's ironic because like, and they know who they are. And me coming on to like the area and then, you know, just the support from them, us being a friendship group. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that it was like such a forgotten team, we'll say it that way. But it's like what came out of there was just really fascinating and great. Like a great team, you know, came out of there. And a lot of talent came out of there too. Mm. And a lot of our friends, you know, whether they stayed with Collier or whether they went to different things, but they're all very, talented individuals who helped us get there. We couldn't be where we're at without them.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's awesome. You know, mm-hmm. Shout out to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Nicole, how about you? Or is that the answer for both?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. You know, and another thing that we do in this podcast, you know, towards the end of the episode is we love giving highlighting the area, right? We also want to recognize, we also want to highlight the Northwest Arkansas area. And a question that we always ask our guests is, what do you tell your family or friends when they visit Northwest Arkansas for that first time? And what's one thing that they must do when they come here?
So is this Briar Rose Country?
Well, of course, we always have to plug that. Mm-hmm. That's like a thing they should do. My family runs it. I helped start it with them. That's our family restaurant. Of course, you have to get a cinnamon roll at Briar Rose.
Yeah, down in Farmington.
In Farmington. What?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I'll have to look this up.
Yes, for sure. Stop by and when you come and let me know.
It looks like a storybook.
Yeah, like a storybook cottage, British architecture.
You can't miss it.
We will make it this weekend, then I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super fun. So we always plug that. Mm-hmm. And then I would say I probably just tell people like I love art, so I tell them to go to Crystal Bridges, mm-hmm. go to Beaver Lake. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say if those are standard stuff, but I always recommend people going down to Devil's Den, just because your classic Bentonville stuff, everyone knows what that stuff is. But if you go down to Devil's Den, it's really, really pretty because you feel like it gets the example of like you're in kind of a larger town, like Bentonville or Fayetteville or Springdale or Rogers. And then you drive 35 minutes south of here and you drive down this canyon. Yep. And then you're in like this kind of like no cell phone, like you're on your own, bunch of people over bridges. And there's blue water, there's pools. It's just a beautiful area. So I always recommend people go down there if they want to go hike or have a picnic because you really see that. That's probably the closest thing you get to Arkansas feel.
So for the audience here, if we didn't catch that correctly, not because he said it wrong, but you might be like, what? Mm-hmm. So he said Devil's Den mm-hmm. State Park. Yep, I think it is. Yep. And then for Nicole, you said, what was the?
Briar Rose.
Briar Rose. Okay, yep. I'm going to have to look
Briar Rose Bakery and Deli. Mm-hmm.
Okay, in Farmington. Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay, cool. I was wondering, I'd be laughing if they're like, what did they say?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they didn't even know what to Google or search or anything.
I just typed in the devil and then I went to the wrong location.
Arkansas.
Devil?
Devil's Den.
Yeah.
I know it's not, I don't know if that's any better, right? But
yeah, the name choices are always fascinating.
Yeah, Devil's Den State Park. It is beautiful for sure. Yeah. What is one of your earliest and best memories of Northwest Arkansas? I'd imagine it was probably that
2019,
right?
Yeah,
or 19. You came in here and you're like, where am I? Or let's go.
I think it was actually going to see coming is because I grew up in Chicago, the water there is very dirty. So going to Arkansas, just any part of the Ozarks and seeing this kind of like almost like blue crystal water.
Okay.
You're like, this is kind of fascinating because you just won't expect it here. I think that first essential awe of like, this is a crazy place that you can go out down to this no name state that no one really gives a rip about for the most part. And they're like, this beautiful down here.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And Nicole, how about you?
So I came here 18 years ago. And I mean, there was no Rogers to speak of, you know, it was just fields on both sides of a 4-lane highway.
True.
So it was a very different place, a lot slower, a lot quieter. Mm-hmm. But I think probably my like, best or like if I can like a kind of core memory when I first got here was going to like a football game, okay. You know, the Razorback game. Those football mm-hmm. games are just, you know, there, something else.
I would agree. You know, I had not been to a football game elsewhere and I've only been here at the U of A. And I got to say, I believe wholeheartedly, and actually it comes out in this episode that releases tomorrow, is I think the venue enhances the mm-hmm. experience, right? Mm-hmm. I think everyone probably, maybe I don't know if they look at it like that, but I really think it does. And I think the U of A stadium does a really good job of being, you know, whether they win or not, because
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, you have a good time. And if we win, you know, Dixon's on fire that day.
Yeah, or
that night or whatever. Yeah. So it's kind of funny. But I would say, yeah, that the Hogs, the U of A, it's a good time when you when they're playing with any of the sports, to be honest with you. So, okay. Kind of towards, as we kind of wrap up here this episode, what is a favorite local small business that deserves more attention? I know you said
Briar Rose.
Okay, maybe a little bit closer. Maybe a little bit closer into town.
Yeah. I'd probably say my fun restaurant is Hugo's.
Oh man, yeah. I love Hugo's. Yeah.
Doesn't get enough love. It's in the basement.
Yeah, it's in the basement.
What about Benton County?
Benton County. Then we're even closer home. Then we're gonna do. This is very random, but it needs more shout out because it's just a very niche restaurant.
Okay.
Is the Anime Cafe in downtown Rogers.
Oh yes.
Like just because it's just like, what happened was that a young girl started it when she was like 14 because she liked anime and her parents started it. And so they built it for her. So eventually she could take over after high school.
Yes.
So just a fascinating little story there.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
That's a story like that. Yeah. That what you just said is now I'm interested. I'm going to. I would love to have somebody.
It started with her fascination with the boba tea.
Yes.
And then from there it grew into like a whole thing and they started a business out of it. And then now she runs it herself.
Wow. Yep. Okay. Yep. I'm going to reach out to her and go over there and say hello and say, let's love to have you on. That's really cool. Actually. Yeah. I love a story like that. So you mentioned Hugo's, the burger spot in Fayetteville. And then the anime cafe.
Yep.
Cool.
Downtown Rogers.
I love it. And favorite local spot? If you know, this is a little bit different question than a small business that deserves a shout out. I'm gonna say if on a weekend, you know, you're free, you just closed a deal, you got it, and now you're saying, you know, Phil, let's
call it Longhorns.
Let's go. Where are you going?
We're going to Longhorns.
He's Longhorns. Yep. I think our Longhorns is 10 out of 10.
It is.
Really,
I've been to other Longhorns in town. I mean, in this, you know, and they don't hit as hard as ours in Rogers.
I'd probably say JJ's. It's very classic.
Yeah.
But like, it's just kind of like the classic bar.
Especially with this weather.
Yeah. Sit outside. Enjoy it.
Do you have a specific JJ's?
We'll probably do the one in Fayetteville or Weddington.
Yeah. I said the one in Fayetteville is really, really, I know they have two, but I assume you're talking the one off the freeway.
Yes, correct.
Yes, yeah. That one is a classic JJ spot. Yep. I think it's a good
if we
spot.
Need to, we'll go to the one in Springdale, but most of the time, since the patio's out in the Fayetteville, I'll do that one.
It's a very
good
spot.
But for Benton County, if there's a spot, it's going to be probably Rogers. It's probably going to be like, what's the tea place you like, actually? The place you go to that you bring the clients to.
Oh, what is that called? Beirut. To Beirut. Is that right?
Yeah,
to Beirut.
Okay.
It's very authentic, Middle Eastern food, and their tea is like amazing.
To Beirut. Oh, okay. Yeah. I see that. Yeah, that's by. Oh my gosh, what's the brewery?
Oh, Natural State
Brewery. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yep. Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know people always say, where do you want to meet for lunch? And I was like, lenders and stuff. And I'm like, I want to go here.
Yeah. If you're going to pay for something, that's exactly where I'm going to go.
Well, folks, yeah. Toot.
Toot Beirut.
Toot Beirut has a 4.8 star review on Google and has 988 Google reviews. Mm-hmm. It says it's Middle Eastern food, outdoor seating, has some vegan dishes, has Wi-Fi, very important.
And it's very like, you wouldn't know where it is unless you knew you were going to it. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to kind of know that you want to go there and find it.
I know they have baklava there, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite desserts. Mm-hmm. So I will say that's the only reason I think I know that place. But
okay.
All right. Well, you know, for Phil and Nicole, we're wrapping up the episode. And if you've heard any of our previous episodes, towards the end of the episode, there is always a question left by our previous guest. Mm-hmm. And we've decided that really is just something that ties in these episodes together. And it's funny, when we had our previous guest, it was a duo, two people. And we were like, hey, let's leave two questions. And now we actually have a duo today to answer the two questions. Because I was like, hey, if it's one person, they're going to answer two questions. But so let's go with this. So the first question is, and we'll do it this way. I'll ask one question and then one answers and then the other one, the other question for the other person. But so let's do this. For Nicole, I'll ask, what is your next goal in the next 12 months?
Next goal in the next 12 months is to get Clankeeper up and running and then working on a book, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. So I want those done by the end of the year for sure.
2025. Okay. Yep. Okay. So yep. Clankeeper. So have a Clankeeper a little bit more established, more recognized and things like that. And then we're finishing the book.
Having the development completely done.
Okay.
So that we can really launch it.
Okay.
I mean, it's working, obviously, and people are using it, but we're in the middle of like a redesign. After all the feedback we've gotten, okay, we're going to go back to the drawing board. And then redoing a lot of things.
But we wanted people who didn't know us that well to use it for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? To give us some feedback before we go like national.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
So it's been mostly like in Northwest Arkansas, Utah, like a couple, but yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, we have some users like Virginia, across, but it's like we have never gone truly nationally yet.
I see. Yeah. And then for Phil, for you, what is your dream home? Describe it to the audience.
There you go.
And that might be challenging to describe as best you can. But again, we'll take your shot at it. Describing your dream home, what it might look like, what's in it, how many rooms maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. California weather.
Okay.
then,
I don't care about the house, just the weather.
California weather.
That comes at a cost.
It does. And fires too.
Just add the taxes to
that. California weather. And then... probably small. I do not like big houses.
Okay.
So probably like less than 2,000 square feet, even less than 1,500. But it'd be like,
Okay.
And then probably like just small. I don't want to maintain anything.
Okay.
Preferably. And then it backs up to near the mountains. Or at least you can like you're really close to them. But no snow though. I've dealt with no snow in my whole life. Near a trail system or near the ocean. And so when it comes to actually a house, probably more nookish, and meaning like it has like weird spots that you can like put stuff in. Very, very, almost like very Swedish in a sense. Like it's very useful.
Okay.
Like think IKEA in a mountain in California, more useful.
Got it.
On the beach.
On the beach. On the beach. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, if you find that, you go. Yeah.
That would be. Someone's like, yeah, that's where I live. Yeah. No, I like it. Okay.
A place like that. Let us know.
Yeah.
How about this? How much land around you?
Okay.
Maybe like
as long as there's enough. I don't want people.
Too close.
I don't want to own the net land. I don't want people next to me necessarily.
You don't want to share a wall.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Probably don't want to take care of.
Yeah. I don't want. Yeah, exactly. It's like
Okay.
I'm not a land person.
Okay. So
I own a lot of land now for some reason, but I'm not a land person. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good answer. Both of you guys. Good answer. So now it is your turn to leave a question for our next guest, and I'll keep it this way for the two and we'll see whoever our next guest is. Yeah. So
I can just choose.
Yeah. So I'll let you guys think about it just for a second or as much time as you need. And we'll leave that. And it can be any question, right? It can be some simple or some hard.
I'll just make mine simple. Just ask them what their favorite vacation ever was.
Oh, okay. What their favorite vacation was. Okay.
I know you'll come up with something interesting.
If there was one historical event you could change, which one would it be?
Gotcha. One historical event you can change, what would it be?
Let's see what they say.
Gotcha. Wow. Good question.
And question would be for the person who is anxious, who's nervous, who is like,
I'm like, I don't like to be on the spot, so I'm gonna leave a question. It's like, let's catch him.
Gosh, that is so funny. let me put that in the notes. The most anxious.
Make him sweat.
Yeah. We'll go.
Make it fun.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm never coming back here again. All right. Cool. I like it, man. Phil and Nicole, it was a pleasure to host you guys, to again, give us your time, here. Enjoyed the episode a lot. I really want to thank you guys again for your time, for what you guys do in this area and everything like that. And for the audience who may not know, I really just reached out to, I think I was talking to Phil initially or Nicole, I don't remember. And I just reached out to them and said, hey, you know, I have this podcast and this is what it is. I'd love to, you know, have you guys on and share your story, share what you guys do and things like that. Again, as the audience knows, we really want to highlight these individuals in the community. And then Phil mentioned something about a future collab or so, something like this. But, you know, I really want to to pay homage to all that, right? To the community, to Phil, to Nicole, to all these things, and then just keep it moving forward. But yeah, if this is your chance to, if you guys want to give a shout out or any social media, things like that, I'll give you guys that second to do that.
All things NWA. All things ThankYouPerSerum.com.
Yeah.
And what else we got?
Agent.shepherd.
Oh, agent.shepherd for Instagram.
Nice. Cool. Yep. Well, guys, Phil and Nicole, thank you again. I really appreciate it. But yeah, folks, as you all know, and when we're not here, when we're not doing the podcast, we definitely love to help our clients, help anything that they may need in real estate. We love to reach out, but please follow and share our social media page for SoNWA, which is SoNWA Podcast. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Thank you.